Well, welcome everybody. This is the third iteration of this program. First, it was in 2006, then 2016, and the bar has felt it worthy of a third go-round here in 2019. It's really amazing to me, being a lawyer for 35 years, that so many members of the bar find this information interesting. It doesn't have cases, statutes, policy, legislative history, and we have over 102 registrants live and webcast. So I'm going to quickly go over my introduction to you. What's a pandemic? Well, it's a noun or a verb. An adjective or a noun. It means an outbreak of disease or illness over wide geographic area, affecting exceptionally high number of people in the populations. And of course, dementia is correlated with advanced age, but I can tell you, we've seen in our practice many individuals in their late 30s and early 40s who have moderate to severe dementia at the hands of familial Alzheimer's, which proceeds quickly. The baby boom, I'm in the class of 46, has forecast extremely vast increases in the number of late onset Alzheimer's disease, fueling the dementia pandemic. The surge of the boomers, maybe 43, maybe 4, maybe 46 to 64, seen in North America, Europe, Asia, Australasia, it's something that in developed countries is very common because advances in medicine extend age range. Look at the differences here. In 1930 to 39, there were 24 million in the U.S., 24 million births. 40 to 49, 32 million, 48 million between 54 and 64. And globally, the oldest boomers reached age 60 in 2003 and will be 80 in 2023. The fastest growing segment of these populations, it's people age 85 and older. Now here's a little my ski jump metaphor. In 1915, there were 100 million Americans. The age distribution on the left of the graph, young people at the other end of the graph, geezers like me, and it's a perfect ski jump. You know, it goes down steeply, has a little takeoff ramp. So then 67, when we had 200 million, the ski jump ramp changes. And especially, we see that from 1915, 75 plus 1.3%, in 67, 3.6%, and in 2006, when we reached 300 million, 6.1%. So you start down the slope and you hit a brick wall. Currently, there's about 330 million Americans. And in 2040 to 50, when we hit 400 million, look at the percentage of 75 plus, 11.6. Boy, you come down that slope. Actually, that's a cross-country run, not a ski jump. Dementia and aging, it's not one clinical entity. And I have a table that I want you to peruse at some point, if you don't have it in front of you. It's table 1.1, and it's disorders causing or simulating dementia. And the categories, degenerative diseases, vascular diseases, anoxic dementia, traumatic dementia, infectious dementia, normal pressure hydrocephalus, space-occupying lesions, MS, autoimmune disorders, toxic dementias, epilepsy, heat stroke, psychiatric disorders, drugs, nutritional, metabolic. So dementia is not just one clinical entity. It's the overarching diagnostic category with Alzheimer's disease being the most common form of dementia. The older you are, then the more likely you are to have dementia. And when you go over this table, I think it will open your eyes that dementia is pervasive and, in fact, is pandemic. Okay, it's a multifaceted global intellectual decline. Memory loss, generally short-term memory first. It's reduced ability to perform calculations, changes in visual spatial orientation, changes in personality as well, deficits in executive function and judgment, decreased language abilities. Aphasia is one of the four A's that they call it of dementia, and the inability to find words and the inability to complete logical, sequential, goal-oriented sentences. Impaired orientation to time, place, and person, and decreased self-care skills. And the one of the biggest issues, and the one that really I think was a driver of the onset of the elder law movement back in the mid-80s, was in fact that the most common deficits that require care when dementia, moderate to severe, is in place are care needs, what are called the activities of daily living. The ability to get up in the morning, go to the bathroom, you know, shower, mobility, use the toilet, last but not least, cognition. And because public policy that really was put into cement with Lyndon Johnson signing the Medicare bill in 1965, Medicare did not include long-term care reimbursement, even though Medicare is most often for people 65 and older. And as a result, the care needs of individuals, couples, and families challenged with Alzheimer's are not reimbursed. They're not reimbursed by Medicare. They aren't reimbursed by Medicare Advantage plans. They aren't reimbursed by major medical. And as a result, people look at the very real possibility of financial impoverishment because public policy and private insurance do not reimburse the kinds of care that is needed. And you're going to hear from our absolutely stellar multidisciplinary faculty today what it's like to be in the trenches challenged by Alzheimer's disease, and I think you're going to be amazed. These are, in addition, impairment in social and occupational function, and you know what? I hate to say this, everybody, but lawyers get dementia. Alzheimer's is the most common, vascular dementia, probably second. Dementia is not normal aging. Benign forgetfulness, which I denied for decades after hearing about it from experts like our faculty today, and now I resemble that remark. And yes, it is quite common to say, oh my gosh, is this Alzheimer's? And time will tell. Demographics. In 87, the Office of Technology Assessment put together a wonderful compendium called Losing a Million Minds, Confronting the Tragedy of Alzheimer's and Other Dementias. And they made some predictions. They said 1.5 million Americans had dementia at that time that required full-time care, another 1 to 5. And you're going to hear a lot of these statistics. They predicted a 60% increase by year 2000. Today, the Alzheimer's Association, and one of our great presenters is the program director for the Alzheimer's Association, Oregon Southwest Washington chapter, estimates we have 5.8 million Americans who live with Alzheimer's now. Oregonians, 65,000 today, predicted 84,000 by 2025, and AD, Alzheimer's disease, the sixth leading cause of death in the U.S. 1 in 10 persons at age 65, and half of those over 85 have Alzheimer's disease. A recent Gallup poll, 1 in 10 had a family member with AD. Okay, grassroots research. How many of you have had a family member with AD? Everybody look around. That's far more than 1 in 10. 1 in 3 knew someone with AD. Very prevalent. By 2050, the Alzheimer's Association estimates that 11 to 14 million will have Alzheimer's disease. Cost of care. Today, $200 billion. In 2019, that's 1.1 trillion, excuse me, in 2050, 1.1 trillion people will have Alzheimer's disease. 1.1 trillion dollars in costs of Alzheimer's disease. Sorry about that. That's astounding. It's been estimated that by 2050, Alzheimer's care alone will singularly exhaust the combined budgets of Medicare, Medicaid, veterans, health plans, and the Lancet, a very, very old British medical journal, in a recent article said this: dementia is the greatest global challenge for health and social care in the 21st century. Around 50 million people worldwide will have dementia, and this number is expected to triple by 2050. So it is a pandemic. So here's what accountants, attorneys, financial planners, other professional providers are going to be seeing in their clients, their parents, their children, their spouses. And as I said, some of us in this room will be part of the pandemic as we age. The things that we see, who's going to make decisions for the individual affected, including legal financial decisions, medical decisions, cognitive capacity determinations. You know, is this client, does this client have sufficient cognitive capacity to understand the ramifications of a document that's being signed or other act? And I will say this, a diagnosis of dementia is not prima facie evidence of incapacity. About 10 years ago, I had an opportunity fueled by a case to look at every appellate decision in Oregon from 1860 to the present about when an individual had or did not have capacity. And some of the anecdotal evidence that I heard would make you think, what is going on with those justices? But don't think that just because your client has had a diagnosis that means they aren't able to have decisional capacity. The effect on families and the dynamics, that's a big deal. The cost of care, today it could run $12,000 a month or more. And Medicaid eligibility, the only program that reimburses long-term care in America, a huge part of elder law, and then the issue, who is your client? We've had a number of programs over the years that touch on these issues. We'll have some more for sure.